Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Last week, we saw God's healing touch that resulted not only in a physical healing, but in such a miracle that the religious leaders who opposed the preaching of the word could not refute the reality of the miracle. This is a great problem for them. So they tried just commanding Peter and John to stop preaching in Jesus' name. And Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard." So after further threats, they let them go. They couldn't decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Now beginning in verse 23 is our reading. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 23. This is God's word. "On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. 'Sovereign Lord,' they said, 'you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus.' After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. What did they do after they were threatened? After the leaders of their people attempted to bully them? What did they do? They came together as the people of God, and they were able to talk directly to the God who created all things. Please notice the emphasis on God as the creator and God as the sovereign in their prayer. They raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them." Their prayer begins by recognizing that everything that exists came into being because God created it all. Now, that puts things in perspective, doesn't it? You see, it's very hard to be intimidated by somebody who is a creature when you are doing what the Creator has told you to do. I mean, the infinite God who created all things tells me to do this. One of the things he has created says, "No, you may not." And you just kind of look at that and you think, "I'm with you." Okay? I want to do what God says, regardless of what people say. There will be times when obedience to God will appear foolish to other people. There will be times when obedience to God will be opposed by other people. There will never be a time when obedience to God is the wrong thing to do. And so they began their prayer by saying, Sovereign Lord, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And that really mirrors, by the way, the description of the spheres of creation that we see in Genesis chapter 1. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Now, what does that tell us about the nature of Scripture? They said, you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Now, David was not a perfect man. David sinned. But God used David to perfectly communicate his word. And what we have in Scripture, although God used human authors as his instruments, is the very word of God spoken by the Holy Spirit. Didn't come through private interpretation. It wasn't just somebody trying to make sense out of what happened in history and people wrote down their impressions. And that's hogwash. This isn't just a book that contains the Word of God. This is the Word of God. And they knew that. And that's what gave them courage and direction in the midst of a world that was filled with opposition and suffering. You, Sovereign Lord, spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. And then they quote from the Scriptures. When you believe this is God's word, it helps motivate you to memorize it. Amen? It's worth memorizing some things. We memorize stuff all the time. We know our phone number. We know what various commercials say and the lyrics to various songs. Why in the world, if we believe that this is God's word, would we not want to commit it to memory? But you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. They're quoting from Psalm 2. And as they do so, these are not only words that are familiar to them, but they're words that they now understand. This was a description of what God said was going on when Messiah comes on earth. They now understood what Jesus had told them, and that is all these scriptures point to me. All the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus, pointing to Jesus, pointing to Jesus. So they recognized that what was going on, what had happened recently when Jesus was crucified and rose again, and what was happening now as the gospel is spreading through the earth, is exactly what God had said, and that is, the nations would rage, the peoples would plot in vain, the kings of the earth would take their stand, and the rulers would be united against the Lord and against his anointed one. Why are we surprised when human power structures array themselves in opposition to the truth? Why does that surprise us? It's what God said would happen. Old and New Testament, it's what we're told to expect. Don't be surprised. Jesus said they're going to treat you the way they treated me. In this world, you'll have tribulation, but don't be afraid. I've already overcome the world. So we should not be afraid, but we also shouldn't be surprised. And so verse 27, they say, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. Well, was that a wicked thing? Yes. And did they succeed in their plan? Well, sort of. Well, did they kill Jesus? Yes, they did. But verse 28, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. But you just said it was wicked. It was wicked. So God's the author of wickedness? No, God's the author of our salvation. God sovereignly uses the wickedness of men in order to accomplish salvation for wicked men. Is that amazing? That's the God we serve. God is not the author of evil, but evil cannot undo God's plan. God takes the horrible, wretched, wicked decisions of people and says, here's how it's going to work. And the people are not forced. It's not, no, I don't want to betray Jesus. Well, if you say I have to. No, they didn't do this out of obedience to God, but they did do it in accordance with God's plan for our salvation. So I just can't understand how all that fits together. Well, perhaps you're one of those people who has a finite mind. Okay? I have that as well. Okay? There are limits to what I can comprehend. Now, there are some things, frankly, that I'm surprised other people don't comprehend. But this is one that does stagger the mind, and yet we must embrace this truth. It is so clear throughout the Old and New Testament. One of the clearest pictures of it in the Old Testament is what Joseph says to his brothers. You meant it for evil, God meant it for good. His brothers did something horrible, and God used that horrible thing that they did as part of his plan to bring salvation and deliverance to them. They would have starved to death if they hadn't had a brother who went before them and provided for them. Joseph, as a type of Christ, through his suffering, bringing salvation to his family and to many others. Beautiful picture. But what they did was wrong, wasn't it? Yes. So did God make them do it? No, they wanted to do it. They did exactly as they pleased. They did what they wanted to do. Nobody forced them. But God was at work in that situation for their salvation. And likewise here, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, what do you do when that's going on? You know God is sovereign. You pray to the Lord. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. I don't know that that's what I'd be praying. I'm just telling you honestly, if I was in this situation and I knew that God was sovereign and he had all power, I would be inclined to say, God, slay them in their sleep. You know? Get rid of them. Get them out of the way. These people are opposing the truth. We don't want opposition. Let's just open the door for the gospel by eliminating those folks. That's not what they prayed for. What they prayed for was that God would give them boldness to speak the word. Because that's what they needed. They didn't need the death of their enemies. They needed obedience to God. They needed courage. They needed power. And so that's what they prayed for. Not political power, but great boldness to speak the word despite the threats. And, verse 30, stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. What's the purpose of that? Well, because it's cool. No. Well, because these people are sick and they need to get well. Well, yeah, the people are sick. They do need to get well. But you know what's going to happen to everybody who gets healed in the New Testament? They're going to die. If you have a terminal illness and God heals you, praise the Lord. But you know what will happen later on? You'll die of something else. Okay? I'm healed. And then here comes a drunk and crosses the center line and you're taken out. Well, what happened there? We're all going to die. That's not a surprise. Say, well, what about those of us who are still alive when the Lord returns? Well, good. Okay, fine. Everybody except them gets to die. What do you want to die from? Well, I hadn't really thought about it. Well, okay, good. You're not morbid and self-obsessed. But the fact is, we're going to die. And so their goal here with praying for signs and wonders was not just because we want to improve the lot of people around us. It was in order that God's word might be validated, that it might be apparent to people that Jesus really is alive and that he's still working supernaturally. That was the purpose. And folks, that needs to be the purpose today when we pray. Our concern should be for God's name to be glorified, for his power to be revealed, not ours.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out his...
They prayed for boldness and they prayed for miracles. And then I want you to look at verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. First of all, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Now we read that, and if you know the scriptures, you're familiar with that. But I want you to consider for a moment how you would feel if that happened here. Okay? What would we do if we were praying and it felt like all of a sudden the building is being shaken? Would we say, praise the Lord, or would we say, oh no, God, help us? I suspect that most of us would not regard a very localized earthquake as a manifestation of God's gracious power. Now here's why I believe this is important. These folks had just prayed to God the Creator. These folks had just prayed to God the Sovereign Ruler. If that is the God to whom you are speaking, what is your attitude toward an earthquake? It's okay, because it is a display of the sovereign power of the Creator God. And so literally, if the whole building comes down, it's okay. Later on in this book, we're going to have Paul and Silas in a jail in Philippi, And they're going to be suffering horribly as a result of persecution that came in response to their doing what God said they should do. And instead of moaning and groaning, they're going to make a choice to worship God. And as they worship Him, all of a sudden, God, without warning them ahead of time, is going to send an earthquake, and it's going to be so ferocious in its power that the doors are going to swing open, the chains are going to fall off, and it's in the pitch dark of the middle of the night. This is after midnight. What do you do in the dark if the bed falls down? They weren't in a bed. They were chained up. And in the midst of that, there was chaos. But folks, let me tell you, that earthquake was for their deliverance. And it was going to open the door for the salvation of the jailer and his entire family. If you and I know that God is sovereignly working for the good in every situation, then even when an earthquake comes, we can say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why? Because we like earthquakes? No, because we know God sends them as needed. But what if it's something really horrible? You mean like the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? I think that counts as really horrible, don't you? Praise the Lord. It is finished, Jesus said. God really is working all things together for the good of those who love Him, who are the called according to His purpose. Now folks, we either believe that or we don't. Well, of course I believe that. It's the Word of God. Then what are you going to do if the building gets shaken? God responded to the prayers of His people who are praying for courage by doing something that men would find terrifying. Right? God, give us courage. Give us boldness. And God says, well, how about if I just shake you up a little bit? I mean, that's what happened. The whole building was shaken. But the goal is not to frighten them. The goal is to teach them not to be afraid. We see Jesus doing this again and again with His people, saying, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, and yet putting them in situations that are scary. Not because He is cruel, not because He wants to frighten them, but because He wants to give them courage. And you and I will not grow courageous if we are always running for anything that might be unsettling. If every time God leads us into a situation that is uncomfortable for us, we say, I just can't go there. I just can't do that. I'm just not wired that way. I can't. Well, we're never going to be courageous. But if we realize that God, in answer to their prayer, shook the place where they were meeting, it's not all God did. God didn't just shake the place where they were meeting. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. God poured Himself into them. Well, now, I thought that basically the people who would have been here would be people who had already been filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. That's right. Well, if they were already filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, why would it talk about their being filled with the Holy Spirit here? Well, perhaps for the same reason that when we are commanded in Paul's letter to the Ephesians to be filled with the Spirit, the tense that he uses in the Greek is an ongoing tense. So he really doesn't just say be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says be being filled with the Holy Spirit. If your relationship with God has been there, done that, no need to revisit that, then I would suggest your relationship is not what it should be. It's growing stale. You don't need to get saved every day, but you do need, by faith, to lay hold of your salvation every day. My confidence today is not in what happened to me when I was a preschooler in Villa Park, Illinois, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. My confidence in the Lord today is because of what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. So I am daily laying hold of what God did to save me, not something I did to earn God's favor. And likewise, I want to be being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I want to be dying to self, yielding my life to Him, and asking Him to rule and reign in and through me. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It means He's in control. And you may be a born-again Christian and not walking in the fullness of God's Spirit. And what you need is not some emotional experience. What you need is to yield your life completely to Him, to repent of sin, and ask God to live His life through you. And you know what? He will. You don't have to talk God into it. Because God isn't saying, well, I don't know. I don't really want to fill all of my children with my Spirit. No, this is His intention for us. So we're not talking God into something. We are yielding to Him as God tells us we should. So, God not only shook the place where they were meeting, but they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and the consequence was what? They spoke the word of God boldly. Look back at verse 29. What had they prayed for? They prayed that God would enable them to speak His word with great boldness. God answered their prayer. God answered their prayer. They went forth from that place speaking the word of God with great boldness because they knew that God, who created all things, is sovereignly governing history, including current events, in order to draw His people to Jesus. And that, beloved people, is reason to rejoice.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org.
We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a short survey at pastorwood.org. It will only take a minute or two. Every week, we will draw a few names from those listeners who take this survey. They will be offered a free book of their choosing that is listed at pastorwood.org. We truly hope all our listeners will take this survey. Please visit our website at pastorwood.org and take our survey today. Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.